Chicago, Chicago,
that toddling town.
Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down.
Oh, good afternoon. It's a beautiful day out there today. Last week, I'm Fred with our village, and Chris is with us, and always.
Yes.
And she's, of course, the boss of our village.
No, I'm just by your side, as always.
And we have Matt here, who's diligently working over there in the background. So
we couldn't do it without Matt, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
We have a fascinating program today, as, of course, we always try to do. Today, we're going to be visiting with Garin Prep High School, Sister Dawn Tomaszewski, and several of the students who had been in Rome back in October for the canonization of Mother Theodore Garin. Maureen Stebbins of Curves will be calling in a little bit later with Heart Health Awareness Month information, along with a food drive that she's going to be conducting. And Alderman Bernard Stone, 50th Ward, will be calling in after the half hour. So that'll be a diverse group.
And all for the neighborhood, where, of course, everything is important in the neighborhoods. That's where you live. And the voting, of course, comes up on what date is the voting? Does anybody know? March?
No, no. February
27th.
Next Tuesday.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And although some people say it's going to be a low turnout, other people have all kinds of excuses why they can't do it. Remember, it's your neighborhood. And if you don't vote locally, then really you don't have much to complain about as to what goes on. Because your vote is a voice to tell somebody to do something. You are voting him in. So, if that's the case, then jump in, make sure you vote, and make sure you let your local politicians know how you feel.
Yes, I think they do appreciate feedback, and maybe we're all a little hesitant in doing that from time to time. But, you know, today also is a rather momentous day. This is Ash Wednesday. Of course, the beginning of Lent, and hope everybody has made their decisions on what they're going to be doing during this season. But one thing I think we've already decided is where we plan to have Easter dinner. You have to look ahead already. It's only 6 weeks down the road. White Eagle Banquets and Restaurant, a Shabillo family tradition for over 60 years, has, of course, the greatest quality in food, service, and value anywhere. They're located at 6839 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. They host banquets for 40 to 1,000 people with customized menus, full package plans. Anything that they offer, you can actually find on their website, thewhiteeagle.com. You can also view their photo gallery and menu. Their Easter Sunday brunch this year is going to be as extravagant and wonderful as it always has been in the past. On April the 8th, they'll have a full menu, and the price is only $19 for adults. And children half price 3 years to 12 years. And, of course, you have to add on tax and gratuity automatically to that, but $19 plus tax and gratuity. The White Eagle, call them now for Easter reservations because they fill up fast.
That's a great place.
And I guess I better give their phone number.
We go there often.
We do, always, just during the week for meals in their restaurant, and we go there for a lot of functions. Their phone number is 847-647-0660, and that's the White Eagle Banquets and Restaurant.
And it's wonderful the way they handle their occasions, you know, whether you got 40 people, 1,000 people,
mm-hmm.
They still seem to get everything done and done very nicely, and people are always comfortable and enjoy themselves.
Yes, absolutely. They do a fine job. They have a great staff over there. And one of our many sponsors for our radio program and our newspapers is Nelson Funeral Homes. Family-owned and operated since 1929, they have two convenient home-like locations at 820 Talcott and Park Ridge, which is actually at Talcott and Cumberland. The other is at 5149 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago. That's in the Andersonville neighborhood at Ashland and Foster. They have any type of information that you can receive free of any obligation if you just give them a call at 847-823-5122. They have a website that you can reference at nelsonfunerals.com. So please, for pre-need arrangement information, available, no obligation, Nelson Funeral Homes, family owned and operated since 1929.
And now we have Sister Dawn on the line.
Good afternoon, Fred. Good
afternoon. How are you today?
Good. We're ready to talk about Mother Theodore.
Yes, we are. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Oh, thank God, huh?
Yes.
All the snow.
Time to get the golf clubs out. At least look at them.
Hello, Sister Dawn.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. And welcome to you, Amy and Kyle. We're also going to be talking to Amy Forte and Kyle Vincennes, correct?
Yeah.
Very good. Nice to have you with us.
Hello.
Hey. Hello there. You're going to be telling us a little bit, Sister Dawn, about the wonderful occasion that you were all able to attend back in October. It was, what, October 15th this last
year? Right,
October
15th, 2006. Mm-hmm. Mother Theodore Guerin became the eighth American, or who spent most of her life in America, to be declared a saint by the Universal Church. So Amy and Kyle and I and two other Guerin Prep students, several of our faculty sisters here were all there in the Vatican that day to see it happen.
That's terrific. It must be nice. And maybe the people that went over there right now, they're young, but as they go through life, they're going to find out that was history I saw, real history. From the Midwest, this is a tremendous thing. Worldwide, it's tremendous because there's a saint involved. And these people actually had a way to watch it and to be with it. And
to be a part of it.
Be part of it. That's terrific. Yeah. How do you kids feel about it?
It was awesome.
Awesome, okay.
Definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I can imagine. And I know that you have had so many thoughts probably in your head about everything that you had seen and experienced. What would you say, Amy, was probably the biggest influence that Mother Guerin had on your life or in your thinking?
What was the most impressive thing?
The thing that really hit me the most was at the canonization, the four of us actually stood up on our chairs and were taking pictures. And when I put my camera down, I saw all the people that were there. It was, you didn't see faces, you saw colors. You saw the colors of our group, you saw the colors of the three different groups, and then just the people walking throughout the streets. It was amazing.
Oh, my goodness. How many people were there, do you suppose?
We think there were approximately 10,000 people in all. Hmm.
My goodness, so obviously worldwide participation, correct?
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. We know there were several thousand pilgrims just there for Mother Theodore. There were three other people who were canonized that day, mm-hmm. but several thousand just for Mother Theodore, and not just from the United States. A whole contingent came from France, which is where Mother Theodore was born. The Sisters of Providence, who she joined in France, that community was there. We have a mission now in China and Taiwan. There were people from China and Taiwan there. So as Amy said, you were just overwhelmed with the people and the people who Mother Theodore touched. You know, we think of, you know, Mother Theodore is ours. You know, she's the patron of our school, and here we are in River Grove, and she's ours. And suddenly, you're up against, ooh, she belongs to everybody now.
Kyle, how did you feel about it?
Oh, man, like I said before, it was, like, absolutely amazing. I mean, going to Rome, it's the very center of all that I've learned of as a Catholic, and just knowing that the patron, our school now has a patron saint, is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. So you really enjoyed that trip very much, huh?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot. It's like Amy said, it was like really once in a lifetime.
Uh-huh. How did you find Rome? Interesting, other than, of course, you were there.
By a map,
huge, huge thing, but I mean, was it?
It was beyond interesting. I mean, there were so many Vatican museums. You could see art, architecture, the catacombs where the first Christians were buried. Just so much history and art, and food was pretty good, too.
How's the pizza over there?
Oh, it was awesome. I actually liked the pizza. I didn't think I would like it.
It's a little different than over here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very flat.
We were reminiscing about our favorite thing. This is the first time I had deep-fried pumpkin and zucchini, and we all fell in love with that.
Oh, my.
That's big time over there, the pumpkin.
Yes.
People over here don't realize that Europeans, I guess, use pumpkin just like we would use
potatoes,
you know?
Yeah. We had that a lot, and it was wonderful.
Right.
I think that, you know, what was wonderful about being there was, you know, as Kyle said, you know, there's art, there's architecture, the history. But, you know, it was prayerful. You know, it was a spiritual experience. We had two events around the canonization, three all together. There was a prayer vigil the night before. Then we had the canonization in the Vatican. The next day, there was a mass of Thanksgiving. But then every day, there was a party in the evening. You know, the big group would come together and have dinner, and there would be dancing. So you had to like a little bit of everything, you know, history, spirituality, and then just the wonder of the canonization.
I see. How does one become a saint?
Well,
I know I'm not going to be.
Well,
I missed that boat years ago.
Really, I mean, it's all about being a holy person, being a person of God. But the process... You know, back in the old days, you know, there would be sort of like you would be a saint by acclamation. You became known for good works or service, and people would say, you know, this person is really saintly, let's call them a saint. Now, there's a three-step process. So, literally, the process to make Mother Theodore a saint has been going on for almost 100 years. It was formally started in 1909. You know, culminated in, you know, 2006. And really, in the first step, the persons who are in admiration of these people, you know, put together the story of her life. And then the church declares that life as heroic, able to be venerated, able to be honored, a life of heroic virtue. And so that happened in 1992. So it was from 1909 to 1992 before we accomplished the first step in her process. Mm. Then the second step, and after the first step, she's known as the Venerable Mother Theodore. In the second step, which is known as beatification, there must be proof of a miracle. And when that is approved by the church, then there's, a big ceremony, and she is known as blessed. She gets her own feast day. She's in the books of the church. And then the final step, canonization, again, there must be proof of a miracle between the time of beatification and canonization. And the miracle in the eyes of the church is God's way of saying, yes, she is saintly. Yes, she is holy. Yes, I listen to her prayers. And so Kyle and Amy and I, as well as all the students here at Garen Prep, had the opportunity to meet the man who was cured through the intercession of Mother Theodore since she was beatified.
I see.
Yeah.
Did you get to meet the Pope at all?
Well, we went to his audience. You know, we and about 1,000 other people. Certainly, we saw him during the Mass for canonization. I sang in the choir, so I was very close to him. But we didn't personally get to shake his hand. So, but, you know, it's good enough just to sort of be in the presence of himself as well as lots and lots of representatives of the church. Cardinal George from Chicago was there, was one of the concelebrants at the liturgy. All the bishops of Indiana are there because she's considered Indiana saint. That's where she settled after she came from France. It was just lots of folks.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, Mother Theodore was the founder of Sisters of Providence.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The founder of the Sisters of Providence here in the United States. In she joined the community in Rouillet, France, and that community was founded in the midst of the aftermath of the French Revolution, where, you know, everything that, you know, could be bad was bad, and so their order was founded to really reach out to young people in the field of education as well as care for the sick, poor. Mother Theodore joined the community there, and in 1840, they asked her to come to the United States. The Bishop of Indiana actually reached out to that community in France and said, you know, this is a pioneer country. We need religious to come and help educate the children. So the intention was that she would come to the United States, found a religious community, and found a school. And that religious community is known as the Sisters of Providence of St. Mary of the Woods. We are about 450 members today. We're in 20 different states. We have a large contingent of Sisters of Providence here in the Chicago area. And, of course, Guerin Prep was the first high school named for Mother Theodore and continues today as the only high school named for Mother Theodore sponsored by the Sisters of Providence.
How long were you people over there? How many days?
About a week.
Uh-huh.
Thursday to Thursday. You know, you lose a day flying because of the time change and all.
Uh-huh. You didn't fly Blue Jet.
JetBlue.
No. We actually, I think we're on different airlines. When you have so many pilgrims, they try to, you know, assign you to different planes.
Actually, wasn't our first flight delayed because President Bush was in town?
Yes, right. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He was in town here, you mean, or in Rome?
He was coming into Chicago.
Oh, I see.
And delayed our flight 6 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah, I guess they have to clear the airspace and all. They do all kinds of things, you know.
Well, Amy, you, I know you and Kyle are both honor students and you're juniors right now, correct?
Yep.
Where do you think you might like to go to college? You think you want to go over to Rome and go to college there? You have a place picked out here?
Well, I actually want to go to a school in Bloomington. It's called Illinois Wesleyan University. That's really my first choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually want to get my PhD in psychology, so I'll probably be in school until I'm 30. But
that's all right. It's not a bad life.
Cal, what are you doing?
I'm really stuck between UIC or U of I or Loyola.
I see.
I'm stuck between those three right now.
Do you know what you want to study? Or?
Know what I want to study? I was thinking either journalism like Sister Dawn or some sort of history. I really enjoy history, or even foreign military peacekeeping.
I see.
Oh, that's a big job.
Yes, it would be.
So we have two very interesting students here.
Yes, I guess.
Well,
so.
They're the future of our country. The children today are the students, and young people growing along, going to have to take over the reins one of these days from the older people. And it's nice to know that we have good people like that are sitting there today, and many more, by the way, in your high school, that will be the future leaders of the country and the world, possibly.
That's what we're hoping.
We might be sitting with the next president of the United States. I don't know.
Right, Amy. No.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not going to go either way on it. It could be a lady or it could be a man.
Right.
And then you'll be able to delay air flights at the airport.
There we go.
You know, Kyle, this might interest you. If you didn't know this already, that the station that you're on today is actually owned by Joe Gentile, who was the person who actually established the athletic center at Loyola. It's called the Gentile Stadium.
Yeah, if you go down there and see that stadium, his name is on, I'm sure, someplace in the building that's on the wall. So.
Yeah, I go watch basketball games.
Well, you see Joe Gentile. That's the station you're on today.
Great.
So, but I was kidding a little bit about the airlines, but be careful, everybody. These airlines now are giving you out these little, well, we'll give you back a half fare, give you back a full fare, do this, do that. Read it very carefully, because you may be turning over your existence to these people. Once you accept this free whatever it is, then it says in fine type, I believe, Oh, we can hold you any length of time we want to on the ground. So be careful of those things.
Will do.
I have a couple of questions. Oh, I'm sorry, were you done?
No.
Oh, okay. I just had a couple of questions that I don't think you touched upon, but I was kind of interested in this. Garen Prep High School now, are you going to remain the same name?
Yes, we are. We actually were Mother Theodore Garen High School up until 2004. I don't know if people are aware, but in 2004, we changed the mission of this school to become a co-ed. Our neighbors next door, Holy Cross High School, announced that they were closing. And the Archdiocese of Chicago actually contacted Mother Theodore Garen High School and said, would you please change your mission? And to enable the boys from Holy Cross to come to school here. So at that time, we made a decision that we needed to, you know, rename ourselves. We were becoming a new entity, as it were. And so one of the things our families told us was they were most interested in from us was being a college prep school. So that's why we renamed it Garen College Prep High School. It is not our intention to, you know, now name ourselves St. Garen Prep High School, simply because we've had a name change so soon. But, you know, we all know who Mother Theodore is here. We know she's a saint, and Celebrator is a saint. So we feel quite sure that even though we're not renaming ourselves, that people know who she is and that she was a saint.
Yes, and she belongs to you, among all of us out there, obviously. Mm. And her official name as a saint is Saint Theodora?
Well, yes. Rome actually calls her Saint Theodora.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Saint Theodore already, so the Theodora would be the feminine version of that. As a community, we have asked to call her Saint Mother Theodore, simply because that's how she was known in our community as Mother Theodore. The students have come to know her as that. We pray to her every morning when the school prays together. You know, we invoke her name. We say, Saint Mother Theodore, pray for us. So it just, you know, it's like a member of your family being canonized or becoming a saint. And so that doesn't change for us. She's Saint Theodora to the church, but she's still Mother Theodora to us.
Mm. And, you know, as all of us need role models in our lives, besides the effect that Mother Theodore has had, Saint Mother Theodore has had on all of you who have that really close attachment to her and her history, how do you feel, all of you, I guess, just in closing, how are saints relevant to our lives today, and how should we look at their examples?
Talk about what she means to you guys. I'll take that question.
Okay.
What saints mean to us today? They provide an example of how to live life. I mean, there's one example in particular about Mother Theodore. When she came over to the United States, there was literally nothing there, and the bishop there, Bishop de la Hendière, wanted to exert his control over their mission. But Mother Theodore, she handled it as well as she could. She was very polite. She was very understanding. And she never once got angry at the bishop. And she handled it perfectly. And eventually she came out on top. And she was in control of her mission.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Very interesting, yeah.
So that's something to guide your own life by for sure, isn't it?
Most definitely.
Do you find that she does play a part in your life, truthfully, when you're on a day-to-day basis? You know, is she part of your life?
Well, especially since a couple weeks ago we got our class rings, and it's really, every time you look down, you see your ring, and it's like, oh, Mother Garen, you think of, when I see my ring, I think of Rome, I think of this whole experience, and really, in my life, it's like, you use her as an inspiration. She was ill when she came here. She's really sucked it up and got over everything and continued on. I actually work in the convent that's connected to our school, and seeing the sisters every Sunday, it's really an inspiration because they live such religious lives that when you think about it, you're like, oh, I don't go to church. It wants you to be a better person.
Yes.
So it does create a lot of faith within yourself to give you maybe an inner bond to be confident
about mm-hmm. certain things?
I think that's a nice way of saying it. I mean, I feel like she's, you know, a member of my family. The fact that every morning here at school we say, St. Mother Theodore, pray for us. Her picture is everywhere. You know, it's kind of like we're brainwashing these students. But I think what we're trying to say to them is, you too can live a life worthy of the gospel. You too can do God's will. You too can make a difference in other people's lives. And she was a normal person. You know, she got sick. She had troubles. You know, she came from a hard family situation, and she persevered, and we know she did because of her reliance on Providence. And that's what it's all about for me as a sister of Providence, to trust in God and to be able to say to young people today, you are not alone. You do not have to worry. God is there for you.
He's with you,
and,
yes.
In the same way that God was there for Mother Theodore. So,
well, we thank you so much for coming on today. And it's been an interesting segment of the show. And as I say, you people, of course, you're history. You've made, you've seen history before your eyes. And with the people that you have in your school, again, I don't like to be repetitious, but these are the people that are going to grow to run or to help to run the governments and the industry and the country and keep everything rolling. So God bless you all.
Well, thanks so much,
Chris,
for having us on. And we promise that if you get canonized, we'll come to Rome, okay?
I tell you what, don't start buying the ticket quite yet.
Okay, all right.
I think he has to be dead first, right?
Yes, that one little item there.
We don't want to hurry that along.
That's
too.
Like they always say, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Goodbye now.
Bye now.
So much. Bye-bye. Oh, that was so interesting. I wish we could have been there just to, you know, partake of all the wonderful events that occurred and, of course, the spectacular canonization process.
Well, of course, that's spectacular. But Italy is a very, very beautiful country.
Oh, yes.
I love Italy. That's just a nice place, nice mm-hmm. people. Just
yeah.
enjoy over there.
Yeah, it was a great experience for the young people and the adults as well. And, of course, we were talking to Sister Dawn Tomaszewski, Director of Communications and PR at Garen Prep High School in River Grove. I don't think we mentioned that. They're at 8001 West Belmont in River Grove. Their phone number, in case you need information on their school, is 708-453-6233. That's 708-453-6233. And, of course, Sister Dawn was joined by Amy Forte and Kyle Vincennes, very articulate young people. And I think they'll grow up to be an inspiration to everyone out there in their lives, too.
Well, I think today the whole world is in kind of an upside-down, we-don't-know-where-we're-going direction. Everybody's all confused. And I watched the news the other night. And for 8 hours, I heard all about some poor gal. She's dismissed Smith.
Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, that she passed away. And, mm-hmm. and those things happen, and I'm sorry for her. But do we have to have 8 and 10 hours of this? I mean, these are national shows. I thought maybe they heard that there's a little problem over in the East. And,
yeah.
you know, there's problems over here and there. It would have been kind of nice to just fill us in a little bit. That was the night, by the way, that they took the fellas off of the mountain.
Mount Hood, yes.
Yeah, and I had the fun experience when I was younger to do some mountain climbing. And let me tell you, that's an unbelievable story that what happened. And these people put their life right on the line to get those out of there. But I think they might have spent 30 seconds on that. But then they had to get back to her. And then the other girl, of course, who shaved her hair. That was national, international news. You know, I'm really excited about that. But it's too bad we can't get these kind of stories going. What we're talking about today, these young people are going to grow up, and they're going to be the leaders. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be the drunk in the bar. or the fool that makes himself a fool, they're going to be the people that settle this thing and all kinds of things down and get them running, get their industry going, everything going well.
Yes.
So I'll get off my soapbox for that.
No, you're very right. And, you know, talking about those people who were taken off Mount Hood, they just mentioned briefly that, of course, they had a black lab with them. And, of course, everyone knows how much we are attached to animals. We have, you know, even Nicole Carfora calls in every week from Canine Corral talking about animals. And they mentioned it just once that this black lab had actually helped to save their lives, but that was the end of it. We don't know how. I mean, did he just give them the courage to go on, or did he keep them warm? And so stories like that, human interest stories.
Yeah, it's much more important to know where somebody's going to be buried. You know, once you're gone, I'm sorry, when I go, I'm gone. Bury me anywhere you want. I don't care.
Well, here's probably something that should certainly precede your being buried. Chester Schabillo, I think most of you folks out there who have any kind of exposure to estate planning have heard the name Chester Schabillo. He has been a counselor and attorney at law for years, and he's a member of the American Academy of Estate Planning Attorneys and has been engaged in the practice of law for actually over 35 years. Well, twice a year, Chester Schabillo offers free living trust seminars. And, of course, he's a noted speaker on the subject. But one of the wonderful things about his seminars, besides being just crammed full of information, they are so clear, and no legal jargon is used, so everyone can understand. And most of us who have ever talked to attorneys know how sometimes they can elaborate on things to the point we don't understand what they're saying. But his verbiage is so clear, and the extensive amount of information that you'll receive in 90 minutes of this free seminar presentation is so worth your time. We encourage everyone to call. There's no cost to this, and to reserve your space is very important because seating is limited. If you call 1-800-63-TRUST, and let me give you the phone number for that in the numerical, 1-800-638-7878. That's 1-800-638-7878. The various seminars will have actually five Chicago locations, and they will begin, I'll give you the dates, March 13th, March 14th, March 15th, and March 17th. And if you call, you can reserve your space. And actually, Chester Schabillo will be on with us on March the 7th, just to give us a little bit more insight as to what these seminars will consist of. And we have with us now Maureen Stebbins. Hello, Maureen.
Hello, Chris. How are you today?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Fred.
How you doing?
Well, happy almost spring.
Yes, I was just saying, I'm looking at the golf clubs.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to remember what I did with them. You know, it's, what to use a golf club for. But I'm about ready to, you know, start to do a little swinging and talking about it and so forth. And well, soon, I hope, we'll be out there.
I hope so, too. It looks like we're going to have good weather for a while anyway.
Yeah, get rid of all the snow anyway.
That's right.
I love it. But after it gets in the city here, it gets all dirty and no good anyway. So I like to get rid of it right away. So then wait for the next one.
Well, it's a wonderful exercise.
Yes, it is. And it's good for your heart, isn't it?
It certainly is.
What is that?
Golfing, any kind of exercise.
Oh, golfing, not shoveling.
No, not shoveling.
I got scared. I thought you were talking about doing work.
No,
you know, I tried working once when I was 16. I hated it, so I never did it again. So
so when I say, here, honey, here's a shovel, you don't take that as a...
I don't know. That's going to go in the closet with my coat.
He doesn't take that as a loving gesture.
No, and I can't say what I say on the radio. So.
Well, Maureen, of course, our listeners know that you're an owner of actually three Curves locations, and this February is it National Heart Health Awareness Month? Am I saying that right?
It's Go Red for Women, Love Your Heart Month.
Ah, okay.
And,
just for women?
Well, it's for men, too, but I think that there are a lot of women who think of heart disease as more of a man's disease, and that is so incorrect. And heart disease and stroke are the greatest health risk to women of all ethnic backgrounds, but only about 13% of women know that. For instance, heart disease and stroke are the number one killers of all women over the age of 25.
Really?
And another startling statistic is that cardiovascular disease, that's heart disease and including stroke, claims nearly twice as many women's lives as all forms of cancer. And I think that's remarkable that heart disease, you're more likely to die of heart disease than all of the cancers combined.
Well,
actually, one in 2.6 women die of heart disease and stroke compared to one in 30 women from breast cancer.
My goodness.
And I think some of those are facts that just most women don't realize. And 64% of women who die suddenly of coronary heart disease had no previous symptoms.
Well, you know, years ago, and I'm an old man, so it's years and years ago, I had a friend out here, and he was in cancer research. He was one of 15 doctors in the nation that specialized in a particular type of research. And one night we were sitting and talking, and he said, you know, by the time we get old, there's only going to be a couple things left, and one of them's going to be heart, and the other one's going to be cancer. They're going to kill us because we have passed everything else. You know, we've gone past it. We can handle it. He said there'll come a day when heart will be the big thing in this country in order to keep people so that they can live longer, you know?
Well,
and he was pretty right. I mean, most everything else has been taken care of, unless you're a kid and hit a tree or something, but most people, if they just live a normal life, eventually they have to go with something, and
that's
it's
right.
Looking to be hot right now.
But we want to prolong that as long as possible.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
And the more we know about the facts about the disease and what we encourage women, all people, but certainly women, because they seem not to know the facts about heart disease as much as men or even male doctors, is talk to your health care provider about your personal risk for heart disease, and together you can, you know, develop a plan to help prevent that heart disease.
That's a terrific idea. It is.
That's good, yeah, and because there's such a sedentary lifestyle that so many of us have now. In fact, National Geographic just had a big write-up on this subject, obviously leading into the month of February. But because our diets are maybe still geared to the times when we walked everywhere rather than drove, and we had jobs that kept us on our feet rather than on our seats. So.
I think there's something more, too. Mm-hmm. This is just an old guru in the corner talking, but women for many years did live a different lifestyle than men. Today, and hey, I'm for it, but they're coming more and more into industry.
Right.
They're now starting more and more of particular types of stresses and strains and things that possibly they didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
And this might contribute something to it, too. So it will come up to balance eventually, man to woman, because they're doing the same things.
Sure, I'm sure.
Well, there's certainly some truth to that. And I think what's important, too, is to know what some of the symptoms of a heart attack are, because of course it's so important you get to the hospital immediately, and chest discomfort, we mostly all know about that, but also discomfort in other areas of the upper body, for instance, actually in both arms, your back, your neck, your jaw, your stomach, shortness of breath, and some may even break out in a cold sweat, feel nauseated, and have lightheadedness. Now, those last symptoms, cold sweat, lightheadedness, nausea, and the pain in the jaw, those are more common symptoms in women than men. But certainly, we should not hesitate, if we have those symptoms, to call 911 immediately. And, you know, don't wait any time. Women sometimes are concerned, I don't want to be foolish and have everybody fuss over me and rush me to the hospital, to the emergency room. And I think that's a disparity, too, that women are less reluctant to go to the hospital than sometimes the man, because usually it's the woman, if her husband is ill, she is saying, you know, let's get to the hospital, and maybe that isn't happening the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Maureen, you know, we always value your wealth of knowledge on the subject of health generally and exercise, and I know you're doing a very noble thing in the next month, too, and that has to do with food drive. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yes. This is our annual food drive, Curves Food Drive, and this year we will be donating our food to the New Hope Community Food Pantry, which benefits the northwest side of Chicago, Norwood Park, Edison Park, Edgebrook, Saginaw, Gladstone, those particular communities. And we're just always amazed at the generosity of our members. Last year we collected over 1,300 pounds of food for the food pantry. And in addition to that, for the first week in March, any woman who comes in to any of our Curves locations with a bag of groceries, we will waive the sign-up fee. So it is a great way to do something for the community with bringing in a bag of groceries and doing something for your heart and beginning to exercise.
Well, that's good. Good.
That's where we got to get Chris to do to get down to your place.
I knew this was going to
come up. Well, you know, we weren't going to let you get away with this. This is jointer.
We were almost through this.
I think I'm going to have to do some gentle nagging, which we're not.
I think. But I did sign up, didn't I?
You certainly did.
That's a step in the right direction.
It is not beneath us to call people and say, come on now, let's get going. So,
well, rest assured, I'm pushing a normal
two. Okay,
too,
well, between the two of us, Fred.
But then I get in trouble because then she'll say, well, okay, we'll work out together. And, wait a minute. Uh-oh. I want my beer and watch TV, you know.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Even though I'm already signed up, I'm going to bring in a bag of groceries anyway when I come in.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
And this
we'll
goes
see
on
you when, then, next week, Chris?
Probably, Maureen.
Okay. I'm counting on it now.
Okay, and during March now, they come in and they bring the groceries in, right,
yes,
to Edgebrook? And
anybody can come in. If somebody just wants to drop off a bag of groceries, that's just fine.
Okay.
But if someone comes in with a bag of groceries in their first week in March, we will waive the sign-up fee.
How very nice.
But anybody, men, women, anyone is welcome to bring in a bag of groceries. We're hoping to top what we did last year.
Great. Okay, we'll help you out there, we hope.
Very good.
Thanks, Maureen. And then we'll tell people, you know, how to get to your locations. You're in Norwood Park at 5854 Northwest Highway.
Correct.
Edgebrook at 5354 West Devon.
That's right.
And Elmwood Park at 2840 North Harlem.
That's correct.
And if they want to call you, they should call 773-763-0563.
And that will do it.
That'll do it. Okay. Thank you,
Chris and Fred. You
nice
have
talking
a
to you.
Day.
You have a good day.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That was Maureen Stebbins, owner of Curve.
She's so pleasant.
Isn't she
really
though?
Is.
Yeah, she looks good, too.
Well, she's in good shape. She works out.
I know.
So, you're going to start, right?
Yes. Actually, I think I'm going to start, though, first with a wood-burning oven pizza.
That's the way to get
at
going.
At the Edison
That's
Park.
That's what
Inn.
I'll be. I'll be at Edison Park Inn while you're working out down at the Curves.
Sounds like a good plan. Edison Park Inn does have wood-burning oven pizza and a whole lot more. They're open 7 days a week from 11 o'clock in the morning. They have a website, so you can actually access their entire menu to find out what they have. And also for their special events, they have bands that they have on a regular basis. Actually, on the 17th, that's coming up. Oh, I'm sorry, that was last week. Excuse me. On March the 3rd, Saturday, Uncle Bob and the Bluesers. My goodness, I don't think I ever heard of them, but that's a band on Saturday night, Uncle Bob and the Bluesers, at the Edison Park Inn at 6715 North Olmsted in Chicago. Their phone number is 773-775-1404 to call for takeout orders. You can also dine in. They have full-service lounge with all sporting events on satellite and cable. And on the second floor, they have live music, where, of course, Bob and the Bluesers will be, and bowling and billiards. They have an 8-lane old-fashioned bowling alley for private parties.
Is that Bob Bluser or Boozer?
Bluesers.
Bluesers. Matt, ever heard of Bob Bluesers? No.
Bob and the Bluesers.
Bob and the Bluesers. Well,
we've heard of the Beach Boys.
Oh, they're coming up on March 24th. Matt's never heard of them either. So.
Terrific. And the gift of vision is something that we should think about any time of the year. I know holiday season is usually when we're all kind of primed to giving gifts or special occasions like birthdays. But Birch Optical is actually celebrating their 69th anniversary. Birch Optical is located at 5489 Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago in Gladstone Park, where fashions have been envisioned for over three generations. So Birch is actually, for the 69 years, has been all family-owned and operated by the same family, Birch family. They honor most major insurance plans. They have professional certified opticians, quality eyewear, contact lenses, eye exams, of course. If you tell them that you heard about them on our program, you'll receive $20 off on a complete set of eyewear. So give them a call today and make an appointment, 773-775-3300. That's Birch Optical. And they do a great job. And they have all kinds of accessories and just a very pleasant surrounding.
Hmm. Don't forget the dog show this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Bosley and his gang are going to be down there. And I think it'll be a good time. It's a great time to take the children someplace. It's an all-day thing and it doesn't cost that much money. And we hope that you'll get down there to see it. So Bosley isn't on today because he's working on it, I understand. Is that right?
He's
going for president, you know. And he's got the Bow Wow party that he's still organizing.
Yes.
So, you know, he's a very busy guy.
Bosley is busy, and Bosley won't be participating in the dog show this week. But he has to, you know, man the ship while Nicole is there with
he's the king of the Bow Wows.
King of the Bow Wows. If anyone would like to call in today and talk to us at the station here, we're at 708-493-1530. And during the week at our office, we'd always love to hear from any of you at 847-675-6127. We do have a website, and of course our radio program goes on to podcast on our website. That's OurVillageChicago.com. So if you happen to miss a show or maybe want to go back and relive some of the wonderful events we've had on the air here, you can call them up anytime.
Mm-hmm. And this is a neighborhood type of show, so anything you have that's going on in your neighborhood, let us know about it. We're at 1-708-493-1530. Call in, and if we can, we'll try to get it on the air. We'll certainly like to talk to you about anything that's of an interest to you within the area. The Northwest Side is where we're mostly into, and it's growing and changing all the time, and some people have concerns, some people think it's great, they want to talk about it, and this is a place you can do it. So please give us a call at 708-493-1530.
You know, next week we're going to be starting a new series on our program here, Ethnic Chicago. And as you and I have said many times already, Chicago has a sampling of probably every ethnic background in the world right here. So we're very fortunate because we can all experience the different cultures and heritage and food, certainly, of these different ethnic groups. And we're going to be next week having with us the Polish Women's Alliance of America. They're going to be talking about the history of Kazimierz Pulaski Day, which will be coming up, I think it's on March the 5th. So they'll be on the 28th of February talking a little bit about the...
And all their stress and so forth, and... And it's not true. These people, years ago, got to the top faster, and they were much younger. And they had to make some tough decisions, and some of those decisions were very, very tough because you could get killed. This is the things they did. But, yeah, it's he was a young man, and I thought Washington was even older than what he was. I think he went at about 70 years old, and that was, I thought, young. But because of today, if you're 70 years old, you're still considered kind of middle-aged. We have a friend who's a judge, and he's 95 years old. He's got a quick mind, and he's up and doing all of his things all the time and just loves it. And so that's good. People, I would hope, as we go through life, though, remember that America was built by everybody from other countries. I just get kind of turned off sometimes when people, well, I'm this. No, you're not. You're an American. You came from there. You know, my people came from someplace, and everybody I know came from someplace. And the only fellow that was... here was the American Indian,
And we don't see much of him anymore, because there aren't that many, I guess. But everybody that's in this country came from someplace else. Mm-hmm. So I think we ought to stop and always consider that. Now, that doesn't mean they should come into the country illegally. That, I don't like to see people break the law. I don't think there's any reason for it. I don't care what they say. You'll justify anything you do in life. We all do. Anything we do, we justify it. However, is it right? No. If you break the law, it's not right. But there are a lot of people, or everybody that comes in here, came from another country. I just remember that the next time you're looking at somebody in a strange way.
He
came from someplace else.
Even the Native Americans, but then they would have come over probably the Bering Strait at one time.
Oh, right? We had a long discussion on that one. Have to get a hold of Gore for about the melting down of the earth and that kind of thing.
Speaking of legality, I just wanted to mention, because I don't think I did this before, when we were talking about the estate planning seminars that Chester Shabillo will be holding in March, I mentioned that there were 5 convenient Chicago locations. Actually, one is in Norridge, one's in Elmwood Park, one is in Niles, one in Chicago, and one Des Plaines. So actually Chicagoland, and they run from March 13th through March 17th. So the phone number again to sign up for those, because they're free seminars, last about 90 minutes apiece. So seating is limited because they're very popular. If you call 1-800-638-7878, then you can reserve your space and be assured of an opportunity to hear these valuable seminars. And Chester Shabillo will be with us once again on March the 7th to talk a little bit about those before they start.
Very good.
You know, there is something that I know is important to you and me as we're starting to get a little older here. Jesse White has announced the 2007 Rules of the Road review course schedule for seniors. Are you familiar with that?
Not really.
Okay. State Secretary of State Jesse White has taken the necessary steps to make senior drivers in Illinois safer while they're on the road. The number of seniors in Illinois is growing rapidly, as we can attest to.
Across the country.
Across the country, yeah. And, of course, safety, is a priority for all of us on the road. So Secretary White's Rules of the Road course are offered throughout the state of Illinois. It's a free course, and you can call, actually, his office to find out about convenient locations at 217-782-8893. Or visit their website. I believe they have a website. Maybe they don't. No, I think you better call the number 217-782-8893. And this will help people with a little refresher course and just enable them to keep driving at a later age. Maybe they need a little extra instruction or help.
Yeah, it's not only the older people. It's people of all ages should learn how to drive better.
Well, that's true.
I think this state is probably the worst state in the country to drive in. People just don't know. They do just, unbelievably stupid things. Mm-hmm. And, they get by with it, some of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them are not so lucky. Some of them do end up around a tree. And it's unfortunate. It's a terrible, terrible loss when you take a young person and they go out some night and they don't come home.
Mm-hmm. And they've been having so many of those incidents.
Well, and I feel sorry for this, but parents have to start to take control. When I was a boy, I never sat in front of my mother and had a gin and tonic. Not when I was 14 years old or 15 years old. And I didn't go to parties where everybody got loaded because nobody did. We were too young. And, I was saying one night, I know this sounds so stupidly easy, but I think everybody in the country under 18 should come under a law that the guy they report to, father, mother, guardian, and they must have one, they are the people that are responsible. So when this little fella does something wrong, you don't want to see him as a judge. You want to see his father and mother. Because they're the people that are going to get fined. They're the people that are going to pay that fine. And that's another thing. You've got to put bite into it so that they say, if you're fined $1,000, you're going to pay it. You are going to pay it. And then after a little bit, it won't take long before I'm going out tonight, Dad says, where? Well, I don't know. Hey, I just spent $5,000 on you in fines because you didn't know where you were going. So go back to your room, sit down, relax, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But you can't have, the kids are growing up and they're still children. I don't care how bright they are, how smart they are, they're still kids. They make mistakes just like we did. Mm-hmm. But somebody's got to come down and say, look, I'm the leader of the gang and you're going to have to follow me. Whether you like it or not is neither here nor there. And this peer thing, we hear, well, they're peers. Well, if you want to get ahead in life, why do you want to stick with your peers? You want to move up ahead of them. So why should you have to sit with your peers all the time? Why not have your own mind, your own brain, and say, gee, this is what I'm going to do. And with mom and dad, they might be able to help them. But I think that the mothers and fathers should be brought down on this. This is not the kids' fault. It's the mother and father who haven't been watching them. Or, you know, I've never heard of anybody say, well, my kid got in trouble. Oh, no, all kids are so wonderful. And they are, most mm-hmm. of the time. But there are times when somebody has to sit on them and say, no, don't do that. And that's it. And I'll tell you why. So, that's another one. I want to see these kids grow up. I think they're good. I do want to see them grow up. And the only way they're going to do it is they're going to have to slow down and start to understand that they are still kids and they do make a lot of mistakes. And maybe mom and dad should be accountable and responsible. And that way they might help them to do things that will create less mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. So. Well, we're getting back to our ethnic Chicago series. I know yes. we mentioned that the Polish Women's Alliance of America would be on next week with us coming into Kazimierz Pulaski Day. The following week, March 7th, this is someone who I know there are a lot of people out there not only in the city of Chicago, but all around the country and the world now, who know Father Francis Rogue, who has been writing articles for us in our newspaper about the history of Bucktown. And, of course, Bucktown had actually been settled in the early days by the Polish immigrants. So he will be on with us on March 7th. It'll be fascinating to start to follow the storyline with him in person, as people have been doing in the paper. So he'll be able to maybe answer some questions and just give us a first-hand account so that we can hear him telling the story in person. And also on that show, we're going to be starting to present local musicians. I think on that particular program, we have Latin music provided by the musicians at El Arpa Restaurant, a new Latin restaurant in Chicago on Peterson Avenue. So that'll be a nice way to introduce folks to the local talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have some great neighborhoods in Chicago. Mm-hmm. They are great. And they're all interesting. And, of course, they're of different groupings, but this is what makes them great and what's beautiful. You can go into an area of a day and learn all about a particular background of people and how they eat and what they like and what they don't like. So it's really a fun town. And I think everybody should use it more to in that respect.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, a lot of people, I think of things like Latin music as perhaps just salsa and, you know, that type of music that we're all familiar with dancing-wise. But actually, some of this will be from Paraguay and from Latin America in general. The Andean music, which is becoming very popular but hard to find, and these are, as I said, all local artists, a lot of them at El Arpa Restaurant in Chicago.
Then later on, we're going to have the music store. I don't remember the name of it. John Shaw's Music Store. And he's going to have, I think, a music show on that'll be more in the American mode, this music we hear every day. So that should be of a lot of interest. So.
Very much, because he, of course, sells instruments, sells and rents them. So yeah. For people who want to...
And he can get you lessons. Mm-hmm. If you want to go and get lessons on how to get better at these instruments, that's good. So
yes, and of course we thank all of our listeners out there for tuning us in each week and reading our newspaper. Also our wonderful sponsors in the paper through the years and on the radio. One of our good friends out there is A Caring Concept. their number one with immediate and personal response to your needs to help you be at home. A Caring Concept is owned by Dennis Lemke and Laura Hartley. They can be reached at 773-539-6600. Their website, acaringconcept.com, will give you all the basic information about what they provide. But their goal is to meet your individual needs by providing experienced, referenced caregivers, whether they be homemakers, homemaker companions, certified nurses' aides, private duty aides. Call them at 773-539-6600, A Caring Concept.
And we thank you for listening this afternoon. It's been a nice day. We hope the weather keeps up the way it's going, and we'll be into spring pretty soon. So you all have a good day again, and thank you so much for listening.
Yes, tune us in next week. Have a good week.
On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things they don't do on Broadway. They have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, my hometown.